Welcome to Inside Ag. I'm Jenna Fiscus, and today I'm joined by Jeff Frazier, Market Development Manager at Schooler, an agribusiness that specializes in bridging gaps within the ag supply chain. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Hi, Jenna. Thank you for having me. I appreciate your time.
For this episode, we will be taking a deeper dive into the conversation we had with Jeff in August of last year about the oilseed crush facility that began operations in Goodland, Kansas last fall. I'm excited to hear more about the benefits of this facility, the success it has seen so far, the market and demand for the products this facility offers, and the economic factors that may affect it in the near future. I'll kick this conversation off by asking you to describe the key features and capabilities of the Goodland Oilseed Crush Facility.
Yeah, in 2003, Schooler began to retrofit the former sunflower and canola crush facility to create the ability to crush canola, soybeans, and other soft seeds. At 1,000 metric tons a day, this creates about 400,000 acres of High Plains canola demand, ultimately giving our growers the ability to take advantage of another cash crop that provides a host of benefits for their operations.
Thanks for describing those details, Jeff. What market demand or trends led to the decision to invest in a canola crush facility in Western Kansas?
Absolutely. The growing demand for renewable fuels was and very much still is in the driver's seat in the decision to invest in Goodland Crush. In addition to the renewable markets, investing in the existing infrastructure in Goodland was a natural fit as High Plains growers are also able to take advantage of the huge protein meal markets within a stone's throw of the facility. We're perfectly positioned to help provide the growers with a market that will be there for the long run and to afford them with the stability that they need to grow High Plains canola acreage for years to come.
So why is canola suddenly getting so much attention in Kansas, a region that's traditionally known for wheat and sorghum?
You bet. Well, Kansas, Oklahoma, and the rest of the High Plains territory have years of proven history of growing canola successfully. When the market dried up a few years ago, so did production. So many growers are incredibly excited to have that market revitalized to help break up their continuous wheat rotations. Another is just return on investment. I like to look at canola as a multi-year return on investment. Competitive pricing allows for great returns in year one while taking advantage of increased wheat yields in year two due to the amazing rotational benefits that canola provides.
What about farmers who haven't adopted canola into their program yet, but are curious about doing so? What can you say about the market for this past harvest season, and how would you encourage producers who've traditionally grown wheat or other crops to adopt canola as part of their rotation?
That's a great question. Much like the other commodity markets, it was really just waiting for a spark. That spark ignited a fire as the EPA released guidance that will help drive demand into the future with a strong renewable volume obligation. While it's not finalized yet, it's also allowed many canola growers to take advantage of market rallies, both for this year and more importantly as next year's canola's crop for those who are looking at locking in early profits.
Now, with higher RVOs projected for the 2026 and 2027 years, are there plans to protect and grow demand for Schooler's canola oil?
You bet. Schooler has already started the process of contracting for the 2026 crop. We're optimistic that the projections will help drive demand forward and give producers a chance at fantastic returns.
How would you evaluate or advise a grower to evaluate whether the transition of a portion of their acreage to canola would be a good move for their operation?
That's a great question. To me, all producers are a phenomenal candidate for canola. Many of our growers will state that if you can grow wheat, you can grow canola. We're starting the process now for our 2026 crop by helping growers look at the data that we've collected over the course of the last few decades to help set them up for success in the 2026 year.
Could you walk us through what happens to canola after it's delivered to the facility? Where does the oil go and what happens to the meal?
At Schooler, we have a dedicated team on both the oil and meal side that'll help identify the best possible markets to move that product. At the end of the day, both meal and oil market destinations will vary based on demand, and our goal is to utilize both of our dedicated meal and oil teams to seek those markets out and make sales that ultimately benefit the grower via competitive bids.
Finally, is there anything else you would like to add, expand on, or touch on that I didn't ask about today?
I think one thing that I want to highlight is some of our first-time growers and the success stories they've had going into 2025's harvest. We've had yields ranging upwards of 50 to 60 bushels an acre or higher for first-time growers, and a lot of those growers have really taken advantage of our Canola MVP program as well as the educational process that we provided to help them be successful.
That was Jeff Frazier, Market Development Manager at Schooler. Thank you so much for sharing a bit of your time and expertise with us, Jeff.
Thank you so much, Jen. I appreciate your time.
Check out the show notes for a link to Schooler's website for more information, or reach out to Jeff Frazier personally at jfrazier@schooler.com. That's it for this episode of Inside Ag, brought to you by Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture. If you enjoyed today's show, be sure to give us a like and share this with others.